Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Varel Coast to Coast.
All right, Varel, back on Coast to Coast. We go to the MGM National Harbor every Thursday to hook up with the one and only, the unequaled, Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis, our lead analyst on Sports Grid. And you see him every Thursday on Coast to Coast for the entirety of the 4 o'clock Eastern hour. And he's styling down there at the Sportsbook with your boy, Sam Cheers Malone, running it with Warren Sharp. Warren, we're ready for a Thursday nighter at Lumen Field in the Pacific Northwest. The Niners on fire against the suddenly flailing Seattle Seahawks, who couldn't handle the Panthers last Sunday up there. How are they going to handle Mr. Irrelevant and the Niners tonight?
They're going to have to fall back on Pete Carroll, how he plays this team. The Seahawks have typically done pretty well. This was the one team in this division that Kyle Shanahan's offense has struggled against. But I absolutely think that with the changes that this offense has made and the problems that the Seahawks are facing right now, that the Niners do have the upper hand, and they showed it earlier on in the season. They had a really good showing in the game previously, really held this Geno Smith-led offense in check after it had been rolling. I think the same thing is unlikely to happen in this game because I think Pete Carroll is going to make some adjustments and pull some things out here for them. But I still see a similar type of result. I see the 49ers having success in this game, but I do see, like, there's some props that I'm liking. It's going to be a challenge without Debo Samuel, and as a result, I think they're going to have to lean more on Christian McCaffrey. When Debo Samuel is off the field, Christian McCaffrey gets a 30% target share of this passing attack, and I think that he's going to have a big day for the 49ers to have some success tonight. I also look at the other side of the ball, and I just don't know if we're going to get that upside production out of this running game. It hasn't been solid. It's basically been relying on explosive plays from Kenneth Walker now that he's back and healthy. But I don't know that they're going to get those against this 49ers run defense. And as a result, it's going to fall onto Geno Smith's shoulders. And his arm hasn't been the same. He was dealing with an injury a few weeks ago. His production has been down. We were on the Carolina Panthers last week. It was one of our bigger bets of the week. That cashed easily. I think Geno's going to have to throw the ball a lot in this game tonight. I don't think they're going to get a lot out of the ground game. And for that reason, there's a prop I like that we'll discuss in a minute on the one game parlay for Geno Smith to go over his yardage. I personally bet over his pass completions as well, over 21 and a half.
Before we get to the legendary Warren Sharp one game parlay, I just want to say in the hell are they going to move the ball against that defense? I don't care who they got. I don't care if Lockett's had big games against the Niners. I don't care if DK. I don't care if Walker. I don't care. That defense is shutting down everyone. They're humiliating teams. What they did to the Tampa Bay Bucs was embarrassing. How is Seattle going to score against them?
Seattle's just going to have to be more creative, and they're playing at home. That's an advantage. Tom Brady out in San Francisco playing in that game was just a mismatch. But this game, I do think that Seattle is going to come to play. It's a big game for them. It's a big game, obviously, for the Niners as well. This is back to finally an important, critical game on Thursday Night Football. Hopefully, it lives up to our expectations because most of them have not. But I absolutely think that we're going to get a better performance here from Geno, a better game plan from Pete Carroll to try to keep this game close.
All right, we welcome our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We'll be broadcasting with Sirius at the Super Bowl in Glendale all week long. Look forward to that for you and for us. Warren, it's time for also Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us today. It's time for your legendary one-game parlay.
All right, well, if you guys splash it up on the screen, I'll read it out here. I like Christian McCaffrey over 34.5 receiving yards. I like Geno Smith. You can't put his completions into the prop builder, but I like him over 200 passing yards. Tyler Lockett, 6-plus receptions. And Kenneth Walker III, an alt under, going under 64.5 rushing yards. You roll all those together, it pays out plus 333. Really nice triple threes there for you. And if one of those games lose, if one of those legs of that parlay loses, and you're betting this at BetMGM, you get your money back up to $25. So it's an insurance bet on the same game parlay that you can utilize here at BetMGM.
All right, let's look at it again here. Now that we see it, plus 333, McCaffrey over, what's the yardage on the receiving? It's 34.5.
34.5.
And Geno's over 200 passing. Lockett, 6-plus receptions. And Walker, under 64.5 rushing yards. If one leg is wrong, you get 25 back. With the Warren Sharp insurance, which is crucial in your life. And if you hit that four-piecer right there, that nice four-legger, you get plus 333. We are going to rock on with Warren. We got a lot to talk about here. We're going to hit the lion's share, all the biggest plays today. And then we're going to talk about every single game, Indy, Mini, Baltimore, Cleveland, Miami, Buffalo. Those are the Saturday games. Then we'll get into that Lions-Jets game at Snoopy on Sunday in the Meadowlands. And many more. We're talking to Warren Sharp, a coast to coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, introducing BetMGM's 12 Days of Giveaways. That's catchy, right? BetMGM players will receive a daily reward at login during the 12 Days of Giveaways promotion. The day two offer is BetMGM players will receive a $5 free bet reward for day two of 12 Days of Giveaways to be used on any one game parlay for NFL games plus 400 odds or greater. How do you get this offer? Well, it's easy. Three steps. One, log into BetMGM Sportsbook app or website at BetMGM.com. Two, after login, you're going to receive a $5 free bet reward for day two of 12 Days of Giveaways. And three, free bet can only be used on any one game parlay for NFL wagers, and it has to be plus 400 odds or greater. I mean, these people never stop with all these great giveaways and promotions. BetMGM, go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. The 12 Days of Giveaways. Styling. Speaking of styling, Warren Sharp is at the MGM National Harbor. We're talking with our lead NFL analyst per usual on a Thursday. We do the entire hour with him. Saturday, triple header, Warren. You got to be kidding me. From 1 o'clock until I go to bed on NFL Network, we got Indy, Mini, Baltimore, Cleveland, and then the capper, Miami and Buffalo in Orchard Park in a snowstorm. That's just terrific news for this Saturday. Let's start with the Dolts playing at U.S. Bank and Mini, and the Colts are already packing their bags.
They are. I think that game is going to be the one that I don't have as much on of any of these three games, simply because I like the Vikings, but I don't know that I want to lay 4 points. I don't want to ensure that they have to win by 6 to 7 points here. I think it's going to be a very public side are the Vikings. I just don't like the Colts. I just don't like this team. I don't think that they're good enough defensively. I think that last week was a horrible situation for the Minnesota Vikings. That is why we were big time on the Lions, betting them on the money line, betting them over their team total. I mean, we hit them. We don't usually hit a game multiple times unless we feel really confident about it. And last week we did. All the matchups favored the Jets, favored the Lions in that game against the Vikings, and we tried to take advantage of that. But I don't necessarily see that here, betting against the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Vikings are the side, but I'm just not really willing to lay the 4 points here. I think it's going to be a game that Minnesota needs to win to try to just knock everything out and just feel a little bit better about where they sit in the NFC playoff picture.
Yeah, I think the Vikings kicked their ass. You know, I've seen that team up close and personal. They are awful. I mean, they can't get out of their own way. And, do you at the very least think that because Jeff Saturday wants that job and the owner Ursay is saying there's a lot of great candidates for the job. I don't know if I believe that, but do you believe that he'll get that job?
I don't know. It feels like he is sort of meshing and jiving with what Jim Irsay likes. And I think a lot of it does really have to do with how they end the season. It's just, think about this. Normally, with a team that is well-run, with a good staff, they'll take a really strong approach during a bye week. Adjust some things, tweak some things, improve down the stretch. I just don't know how much an interim coach like Jeff Saturday and things he likes to focus on is going to adjust and change and improve to really get a boost coming out of their bye week to take full advantage of it against a team like the Vikings.
So the Ravens handled their business in Pittsburgh, and they did it with defense, and they did it by body slamming Kenny Pickett on his head and concussing him and then watching Mitchell Trubisky throw three picks, for Christ's sakes. But now they play the same kind of team, a lousy team, in Cleveland at the dog pound against the Browns, who are also finished at 5-8. Do the Ravens, I know Lamar's not going, do they handle their business again with defense on the road in Cleveland?
I think that they do, and here is why. I was surprised to even see these numbers when I did the research. The Cleveland Browns at home under Kevin Stefanski have the second worst ATS mark in the entire NFL. They've covered the spread in just 11 out of 31 home games since 2019 when he took charge. Only the Carolina Panthers are worse. So they have a terrible ATS record at home. They also have a terrible ATS record in division against the AFC North, where they've covered just 3 out of 11 games. And then they're terrible against the Baltimore Ravens. They have covered just 1 out of 5 games they've played the Baltimore Ravens thus far. It's just a bad matchup for them. They've also lost 4 out of those 5 games. They have a better matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. They fared better against the Bengals, but against the Ravens, that's not the case. And this year in particular, I know Lamar Jackson's not there. I just think this current form Cleveland Browns team matches up really badly against the Baltimore Ravens for a couple of reasons. We know that the Cleveland Browns want to try to run the football because Deshaun Watson isn't playing at an elite level. He's not playing up to expectations. So they're going to try to get the ball going on the ground. The problem is, A, they can't run it on the ground lately, and B, the Ravens are one of the best defenses in the NFL at stopping the run. And the reason that the Cleveland Browns haven't had any success running the ball is because they lost their starting center, Ethan Pochich, in week 11 against the Buffalo Bills. And Wyatt Teller, their guard, has not been playing nearly as well as he has the past couple of years. And so that drop-off in the middle of that offensive line has caused this team to move from number 3 in EPA per rush attempt for running backs over the first 10 games of the season to bottom 10 since they lost starting center Ethan Pochich. He's obviously not back. We see it. Nick Chubb is not having the same level of success. This is a bad matchup for that ground game, and I don't like the matchup for Deshaun Watson because I just don't think he's ready to carry this offense all by his lonesome right now. On the other side of the ball, yeah, you don't have Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley is familiar with this offense. Obviously executed this offense down the stretch last year. They didn't have a lot of success in doing so. but he knows what to do. And the best part about it is the matchup. They're playing the Cleveland Browns, who are the worst team in the NFL stopping the run. And in fact, Scott, this is also mind-boggling. I went back and spent a good hour on this last night, looking back every single year, every single team that's played every single year, all the way back since 2000. There's not a single team worse against running back runs in EPA per attempt over those years since 2000 than the 2022 Cleveland Browns. They're the worst this year. They're the worst since 2000. And the Ravens are going to be able to take advantage of that.
I believe it. The game everybody's interested in the snow and freezing conditions in Orchard Park, it's the Dolphins with Tua, who's disastrous in three cold weather games he's played in. I mean, the numbers are staggering what he's done, which is nothing. He's done nothing in freezing cold weather, and he's playing in it on Saturday night in Buffalo.
He is. I pulled out some of the numbers of what he's done, and I don't want to go and just read numbers this whole segment here, but what I will say is this. The Miami Dolphins need to fix their depth of target. They're throwing the ball too far down the field since their bye week. The last three games on early downs, they're averaging 12.3 air yards per attempt, well above the NFL average, which is less than eight, well above the number two team in the league. And these passes are hard to complete, and these passes are forcing too many third and long situations because you aren't completing them for first downs. As a result, Miami has the lowest third down conversion rate in the NFL over the last 3 weeks, which is a big change from what they were earlier this season. You mentioned the cold. It's absolutely going to be cold. I don't like the way the Dolphins seem to be approaching this game. They're bringing portable heaters to Los Angeles in 58 degree weather to stay warm on the sidelines there. Now they're going to be outdoors in Buffalo. Feels like 20 some degrees. Windy, cold, possibly snow. I just think that this game does not bode very well for the Miami Dolphins.
And they're not playing well, and their last two games have been ugly, and now they're going to face a Bills team that seems to have righted the ship and is playing good football again and winning again and tops in the AFC. So that'll be interesting. When we come back, the Jets and the Lions at Snoopy and East Rutherford has turned into one of the featured attractions this weekend. We'll talk about that and continue on with the man, Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
It sure is. The Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, you can get a risk-free wager up to $1,000 risk-free. You heard me. When you use the promo code COAST2COAST. Coast, the number two. Coast to coast, that's the code. Risk-free bet up to $1,000 at BetMGM. We're talking to Warren Sharp at the MGM National Harbor. It's the big game again, believe it or not, involving the Lions. Last week it was Lions-Vikings. Here we go again with the featured attraction. How about the Jets and Lions at Snoopy and East Rutherford? They've already been there once, destroying the G-men in that stadium. Now they're taking on a wicked defense. Salah's boys can fight. This is going to be a great game, no? Warren, what do you think?
I do think it's going to be highly competitive, but it's going to be very different than the game that the Lions played just a week ago. It's diametrically opposite of what the Lions just dealt with in the Minnesota Vikings. Number one, that game was at home. This game's on the road. Number two, that game was against a defense that played the second highest rate of zone coverage. The Jets played a ton of man coverage. And number three, the Minnesota Vikings ranked dead last in the NFL against play action. The New York Jets ranked number one in the NFL against play action. Now, let's talk about the home versus road split, Scott. At home, the Detroit Lions are the best offense in the NFL. That might seem shocking to say, especially earlier this year or in the offseason, but it is true. They rank number one in points per drive, touchdowns per drive, scores per drive, and the lowest rate of punts per drive But guess what? They rank dead last in scores per drive, and they're bottom 10 in every single one of those metrics when they go on the road. So that's where they're going to be playing the New York Jets. They've played only five defenses that rank above average on the season. Three of those were at home. They scored enough points, but their defense was terrible in two of those games, so they only won one of those three. They lost two of those three games, and the two that they played good defenses on the road, that was against the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots. They scored a total of 6 points in those two games combined. So it's a tough spot for the Detroit Lions. Yes, their offense is high flying, but most of it happens at home. Now they're going on the road. I just think it's going to be a challenge, which is why I kind of lean towards the Jets, but I prefer the under in this game. It's moved down a lot. I got some better value earlier in the week. I would advise just waiting around and see if somebody bets it a little bit towards the over. Maybe you can grab a 45 closer to kickoff. But I see this game struggling to score a lot of points. Mike White, he's dealing with the injury. I don't think they're going to be throwing the ball as deep down the field. I think they're going to be a little bit more conservative so long as the score is within reach. And for these reasons, I do like the under.
So let me ask you, they've lost three of four. And it's slipping through their fingers, the possibility of the postseason. Do you think that this is an absolute must-win for the Jets?
Yes. Yes, I do. If you are looking to bet the Jets to make the playoffs, I think it's like plus 150, they have to win this game. I mean, their odds to make the playoffs drop dramatically if they lose this game. I know the Lions are in the NFC and they are in the AFC, and they do have a great shot to play the Miami Dolphins. I think it's in Miami, week 18, to close out the season and gain that extra leverage going up against a division opponent. But this game is a must-win game for the New York Jets if they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they finish at Seattle and at Hard Rock in Miami against the Dolphins. Neither one of those trips will be easy. Let's talk about the next one, Tennessee and the Chargers. I thought the Chargers looked great against the said Finns on Sunday Night Football, all things being equal. And I got to tell you, the Titans' performance at home against the Jags was pitiful.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Now, I was happy because I was on the Jaguars as underdogs there, but that looked terrible. I was. That was last week, though. This week, let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. This is the spot that you want to be backing the Titans. They are at, catching points on the road as an underdog, and we know how great Mike Vrabel is in these situations. We know that the LA Chargers should be faded when they are laying points. So these two things are butting heads, and you should be looking first and foremost at taking the points with the Tennessee Titans. The problem is, they still lack anything dynamic in the passing attack without Treylon Burks there. I love Chigo Kwanku, who's coming up as their tight end and is catching some passes and looks really good, and hopefully they continue to get him heavily involved. But this team does not have a lot of dynamic weapons if they do fall behind, and they're going up against a really good offense. That what do the Chargers like to do? They pass the ball at a really high rate. And what is the weakness of this Titans defense? It's their pass defense. It's their secondary. They're decent against the run. That's not going to help them much here because the Chargers don't want to run Austin Ekeler that much. They want to throw the ball to Ekeler and to these receivers who are now back and are healthy. So if you get into a game state, which is what sort of snowballed last week in Tennessee against the Jaguars, where the Tennessee Titans fall behind and they cannot continue to run Derrick Henry, which is the way to attack this Chargers defense because they're really bad against the run, then you're really stuck because now you're going to be throwing the ball. You don't have receivers to do so. Your O-line's not great at pass protection. I envision some problems. So if you want to bet on the Tennessee Titans, my advice, absolutely bet them for the first half. Do not bet them for the full game. Hope that you can get their script to be really solid, which it typically is, and hope that they can start out the game well and you can stay within reach. You do not want a Titans team fighting from behind to try to get back into this game. It's just very unlikely to happen.
So there you go. Bet the Titans first half is the moral of the story.
If you're betting the Titans, I'm not advocating to bet the Titans, but if you were, that's the way I would attack it.
Fair enough. This next one was delicious when they played at Snoopy. a 20-20 tie in the game that the Commanders led 10-0 against the G-men out of the gates. But the Giants got back in the game. The game ended in a tie. Now they play again weeks later at the dump in Landover. You've seen the number. It's crazy, right? Tell me about that 4.5 against the Giants this time.
You're right. That line was higher earlier in the week when they played 2 weeks ago in favor of Washington, and a lot of short money came and took the New York Giants, and the line got down to 2.5, and that's where it closed, and the Giants tied the game and obviously covered the spread. And now they move the game from New York to Washington, and the line has shifted through the 3 and is up to 4.5. I don't see any value in laying the points with Washington here. That home field advantage you mentioned, the dump, it is a dump. Physically, it's a dump. They're trying to pack the dump with better fans. They're trying to, I don't know if you've seen, the players have bought out whole sections in that stadium and are trying to give away tickets to fans to beg people to come in to cheer for them, because they know that the Giants fans travel really well. And this is, you know, one of the best seasons that the Giants have had in recent memory, thanks to Brian Daboll. So the Giants fans are fired up for this game, and road teams take over that stadium in Landover, Maryland, and really provide a lot of assistance for the opposing team. And so Washington's trying to prevent that from happening, and they're doing their best to do so, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. That said, I'm not running to take the points with the Giants, because the matchup itself just isn't great. The Giants want to try to run the football with Saquon Barkley, and the Washington Commanders' best strength defensively is stopping the run. It's also getting after the quarterback. And so if those runs don't work, then you got Daniel Jones dropping back under pressure. And who's he throwing it to? I mean, this Giants team, the state that it was left in, I mean, by Dave Gettleman and company, is disastrous. And then, of course, they've had a lot of injuries throughout the course of the season. It's just going to be really tough for the Giants to hang in this game. But I certainly don't see enough value in laying this, you know, large of a number with Washington.
Daniel Jones has had success against Washington, and in Washington he's played well. Do you think he can come up big this time?
Well, he plays better on the road. That's a fact. He plays good in this spot. He's gonna have to maybe run for like 65 yards, to give him a chance. And those runs are gonna have to be on some key third downs to keep the chains moving, to move the team into scoring territory. Maybe from their 40-yard line, instead of punting it back to Washington, he gets them down on a run, maybe a nice 20-yard gainer or 25-yard gainer, and they're in fringe field goal territory. Like, these are the types of key plays that he's going to have to provide on the ground. And the Washington Commanders have this other added edge here, which I know you guys have discussed, I'm sure, which is that they've done nothing since their last game but game plan for the New York Giants. Rest, heal, game plan for the New York Giants. They played them right before their bye, took a bye, play the Giants again. The Giants had to deal with the Philadelphia Eagles in between there. They got blown out. They got embarrassed and humiliated in that game, but they expended a lot of energy. They were trying really hard to fight. They did not have success. Now they have to go on the road against Washington. It's just a big advantage from a rest and prep perspective for the Commanders here.
How about Jones? 0-9 in primetime games. It's the Sunday night game. That's just a little bit of a trend for you.
Not good. Not good. I mean, they're going to have to, as you said, come up with something. Daboll's great at coming up with things, but he can only work with the ingredients that he's been given, right? He's not shopping for the groceries yet. He's basically been just trying to cook with what's on the table. And the ingredients that Gettleman has given him stink. They're rotten. A lot of stuff needs to be thrown into the trash can. And it's really hard to make a 5-course meal with what he's got.
Rotten tomatoes. They got to shed the Gettleman waste and just go with Shane and Daboll into the future. When they clean up his mess, things will get interesting. We're back with Warren Sharp from the MGM National
Sports. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm
Warren gives out the best skinny of anybody in the business. And if you want even more skinny, which I know you do, you go to sharpfootballanalysis.com. And if you don't go there, well, then you lose and enjoy your money flying out the window. Just have fun with that. Just sit back in your recliner and watch it just go right out the window. And then your wife's over there talking on the phone with some other guy. You got all kinds of problems. But leaving that aside, let's get into a bevy of games. We'll start with Philly in Chicago. I'm sorry, Warren. This one's going to get ugly. If they can do what they did to the Giants, what do you think they're going to do to this hapless Bears team with their crappy defense?
Well, it all comes down to Justin Fields, right? Justin Fields, this team with a week off to prepare and design some things, you got to be very confident that this new coaching staff and Justin Fields wasn't sitting here thinking about the long-term future. They weren't designing things 2-3 weeks from now. They've got a losing season. They have put all of their chips forward onto this game against the Eagles, trying to ensure that, A, they don't get blown out, but, B, they got some tricks up their sleeve that they can roll out against this Philadelphia Eagles defense. And mainly it's going to have to be Justin Fields and his wheels and trying to get things accomplished on the ground. So I'm not willing to lay the points with the Eagles here, but I do think if you go with a slightly juicier teaser, 6.5 points, you can get the Eagles underneath that key number of 3 and combine them with a couple other games on the board to tease those guys down to 2.5.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan to me. I'll tell you another thing. I don't care what Eberflus and Fields have been doing getting ready for this game. That Eagles defense is legit. They don't mess around, and they build huge leads on teams and just put the pedal down and destroy everybody. And the Bears can't get out of their own way. I don't care what they've been doing in hiding and in wait in the weeds for this game. Atlanta and New Orleans, Desmond Ridder. We did comment on his hairline is receding at a young age, and we give him 3 years until he's completely bald. Leaving that aside, do you like his chances in New Orleans on Sunday against the Saints and the Red Rocket?
For the Atlanta Falcons, I think this is an offense that actually might come out looking a little bit better despite them shifting to a rookie. And the reason is they don't ask him to do much. They have the lowest pass rate over expectation. They also throw the least amount 1 to 5 air yards. They're one of these teams, they don't throw the ball underneath much. Mainly it's when they do pass the ball, especially on early downs, just take a deep shot, throw the ball down the field, 20 plus yards. They have the highest rate of passes thrown 20 plus yards of any offense in the NFL. What was the problem? Marcus Mariota absolutely stunk at trying to complete these passes. He literally ranked out of 40 quarterbacks, number 40 in accuracy, and all of his efficiency metrics were bottom 5 in the NFL trying to throw the ball down the field. So that's what this team needed, and he couldn't give it to them. We're not sure what Desmond Ridder is going to do at the NFL level in trying to complete these passes, but what we do know is it's very unlikely that he's worse than number 40 in the NFL, which is what Marcus Mariota was. And on the Saints side of things, this is a team, look at their schedule, the last 5 games before their bye last week. Brutal defenses that they went up against. Now they're working in Rashid Shaheed, and they're working in a little bit more of Alvin Kamara because Mark Ingram's out. I think this offense could be explosive, finally going up against a very bad defense that the Falcons have. I think this is a sneaky over game. I think there might be some points in this one.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I can't wait to see what Ridder does. And the Saints blew the game against the Bucs. They should have won that game. They blew it in the last minute down at Raymond James. The Niners, they gave them a game but still lost 13-0. They beat the Rams. The Steelers beat them. So you never know what you're going to get with the Saints. All right, let's talk about teacher versus pupil. Here we go. Belichick against Josh McDaniels, his longtime assistant, who he obviously admires. As the Pats are in Vegas, chilling, waiting to take on the Raiders Sunday.
Josh McDaniels has blown 4 games where he's led by 13-plus points. No other team in NFL history, I think that ties the record. Nobody else has blown 5 games where they've led by 13-plus points. I mean, he gets so conservative as a coach when he has a lead, especially in the second half of games. this should be sending off alarm bells in your head as to how to bet this game if you want to take the Raiders. It's not betting the Raiders for the full game. McDaniels is so conservative late. What is one of the things that I've pounded the table on for you guys all season long as we do these spots live from MGM National Harbor is look at in-game betting on the team that's losing, because a lot of these teams that are up take their foot off the gas too early. More come from behind victories than we've ever had in recent memory in the NFL. And for that reason, if you like the Raiders, bet them on the first half. They have extra rest. They have extra time to prepare for this game. So I think that they are going to want to try to avoid getting embarrassed. This team does still have a lot to play for, particularly from the perspective of, like, they got some proud guys in that locker room that don't want to be a total failure. And Josh McDaniels, as you said, going up against his former mentor and coach. I think it's going to be an interesting game. I'm not very excited to see this Patriots offense yet again. They were really disappointing the way that they coached that first half and the short depth of target and all the predictability that they infused into that game. They really got lucky that DeAndre Hopkins fumbled that ball against the Arizona Cardinals last week.
So the Patriots, after this game, it's brutal. They have the Bengals at home, then the Dolphins at home, and they finish at Orchard Park against the Bills. I think those three games are absolutely brutal for the Pats. I think it'll be the end of them. The Steelers and Carolina playing in Charlotte. Huge win that you predicted for Carolina in Seattle. Does Sam Darnold handle his business against the Steelers, who are already packing the glad bags? Their season's over.
What is going on in Pittsburgh? They are, I don't know what, do you know what they did today in terms of how they split their reps? Because yesterday they split reps between Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. And I don't know in what universe you would be looking to go to Mason Rudolph here. This offense was significantly better. I think I said Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's got his concussion. Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph split reps in practice yesterday. You have to have a focused strategy here. If Mitchell is healthy and Mason is healthy, you need to pick one and let them get as many reps in practice as you can possibly get, because these guys have not been full-time starters this season. So I don't understand why they're splitting reps, number one. Number two, I don't know why they would go back to Mason Rudolph. Take away the interceptions. Obviously, they were dumb, bad interceptions, boneheaded mistakes by Mitchell Trubisky. This team pushes the ball downfield more with Trubisky at quarterback and is more efficient on an EPA per play perspective on early downs. One of the top five offenses in the NFL last week. So I don't know why they would go back to Mason Rudolph unless they think all we need is a guy who's not going to throw interceptions inside the red zone, because Mitchell Trubisky threw three of them last week. Well, guess what? You have to move the ball down into the red zone. And I don't really have confidence that Mason Rudolph is going to have as much success doing that like I did if Mitchell Trubisky was the quarterback. In either case, this is not a sexy game. This is not a sexy team in the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I would be looking to back the Carolina Panthers. The problem is it's not really a buy low spot for them since they just pulled the upset last week. So if it's Mason Rudolph, I'll probably lean to Carolina. If it's Mitchell Trubisky, I'll probably do absolutely nothing on this game.
All right, Dallas is in Jacksonville. The Jaguars looked fantastic last week. You never know what you're going to get from them, but that was impressive to say the least. How do you think they'll handle the Cowboys, who had a terrible time with the Texans, even at Jerry's World?
Look at the Cowboys' last few games. I mean, they ended up blowing out the Indianapolis Colts. Did you look at the score at halftime or in the third quarter? I mean, they poured it on in the fourth quarter thanks to a lot of blunders that the Colts made. But that game wasn't a massive blowout earlier on in the game. They're down to the New York Giants. This is just a team, they barely beat the Houston Texans. They have to do a come-from-behind win there. And now they're going to play in Jacksonville. Not the easiest place to play for a dome team when you get down into late December. I think this is going to be a challenge. But I do think they're going to have success scoring on this Jacksonville Jaguars defense. It's just, I'm expecting that we're going to see Trevor Lawrence play pretty well again here. And I think Doug Peterson's experience of going up against the Dallas Cowboys in the past is going to help them, whereas the Dallas Cowboys don't have a lot of experience going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I would lean towards the Jaguars, but I also earlier in the week at a better number put a little bit down on the over in this game. I do think we're going to see some points in this one.
Kansas City's in Houston. Mahomes has thrown picks. The Chiefs never cover. They're laying a 14 piece against the one-win Texans.
Houston came out with this strategy where they're going to rotate two terrible quarterbacks in and take turns with them and try to catch them off guard because they don't know which terrible quarterback is going to be in the game at any point in time. And somehow, against the Cowboys coaching staff, that plan actually worked. I think the cat's out of the bag, though, and the Kansas City Chiefs now know what could be coming and could be in store for them. I think it's going to help the Kansas City Chiefs defense a little bit here, get better prepared. I think the Texans, they play their too high defense. They sit back, try to keep everything in front of them. I don't know that I see the Kansas City Chiefs scoring a big crooked number. And we saw, especially in the game last week against Denver, though Denver's defense is superior to Houston's, that Kansas City takes their foot off the gas fairly frequently late in games. And so the back door on a spread this large is going to be open. But I'm also not so sure that we don't see this game sneak under the total. I haven't bet anything on it, but it might not surprise me if the Chiefs do their work, get their lead, and try to get out of Dodge without any injuries. And the Texans offense just isn't quite capable enough to put enough points on the board to send it over the total.
They were up 27-0, and they did not cover against the Broncos. But they did win the game, and that's all that matters. Arizona has lost Kyler Murray. They lose every game. Now they're going to Denver, and Russell Wilson is out. It looks like Brett Rippon, right?
Yep, Brett Rippon taking over there for Russell Wilson. I don't think it's 100% confirmed, but that looks like the way it is trending. I think this offense is fine for the Arizona Cardinals with McCoy back there. Look, McCoy, we know when he's going to struggle. He's going to struggle when the opposing defense is able to put pressure on him because he doesn't have the escapability or the wheels like Kyler Murray does. So we know they're going to struggle when that happens. The key is get the ball out quickly, get the ball out on time. I have not seen this line posted, but I'm going to be interested in not his yards, but just his receptions. DeAndre Hopkins receptions over is a prop that I'm looking at in this game. But I don't want to bet the side. I don't want to bet the total. I think this game is going to be gross. We've got the Cardinals, their GMs taking a leave of absence, hopefully medically, or if he's fine. But and this team is a disaster right now. They're poorly coached. The writing is on the wall for this team this season. They're done. Stick a fork in them. And I just don't know what type of motivation they're going to have against the Broncos, who, you know, have been very disappointing themselves and now are down to a backup quarterback.
Respectfully, 30 seconds. The Bengals have won 5 in a row. Do they handle the Bucs in Tampa?
I want to believe that they can. I think that they're so far superior coached, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, to limit the offense of Tom Brady's Bucs. So I would lean their direction, but I don't see enough value to actually place a bet on them.
When we come back, we'll look at the Monday Nighter, the Rams and Baker Mayfield at the Pack at Lambeau Field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Follow Warren on Twitter at Sharp Football. That might be a good idea as well for you there, Slick, so you can keep updated on everything Warren's up to help you make fat stacks. All right, the Rams and Baker Mayfield going to Lambeau for a Monday Nighter in Green Bay. What do you like there?
Last week, I liked the Rams having the ability to catch all those points and to make that game a lot closer than they did, and that came out on the right page. But I don't know. This week, I'm kind of leaning to this again. I did not expect Baker Mayfield, I don't think anybody did, to come in like that with such short notice to actually perform and execute the offense the way that he did. And I feel like he's taking this opportunity to really make a name for himself and a case for himself to be the starter in the future, because I don't really know what the future holds for Matthew Stafford. I mean, this could be a guy in Stafford who is gone, and Baker Mayfield may have a shot here. Baker Mayfield may have a shot somewhere else. So, you know, they're going to be very motivated, but so are the Green Bay Packers, especially in prime time here. I've actually circled, not this game, Scott, because I would lean a little bit towards the Rams, but pay close attention to Christmas Day. The Miami Dolphins are playing the Buffalo Bills on Saturday for another road game. They played three straight road games. They go home and they get to host on Christmas Day this Green Bay Packers team that will be on short rest, having played this game on Monday night at home in the cold, going down to Miami on Christmas Day on a short week. Dolphins have two extra days of rest. Dolphins finally back home. I'm looking at that spot. I'm hoping the Packers look great here so that I can maybe lay only 3 points on the Miami Dolphins next week in Christmas Day down in Miami.
Yeah, and then there's also the Broncos-Rams at SoFi on Christmas Day at 4:30, and then Bucks-Cardinals on Christmas night at 8:20. So a triple header on Christmas this year. Plus, while I'm at it, five NBA games. I mean, who needs Christmas gifts when you got all that action? Warren, great job. We'll see you next week. You're a badass.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.